Welcome to Men Are Nuts, a podcast about mental health, emotional health, psychological health, physical health awareness in men, women and society. First, it started with MAN, the acronym for Men Are Nuts. And we have a very special guest on the show for you today. All the way, I'm presuming he's at the UK, in the UK at the moment. He's smiling.
I am, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Tell everybody who you are and what's your name and, yeah.
Yeah, so my name is Pete Cohen and my background is actually pretty similar to yours. I have a number of degrees. My first degree was in sports science. I then did a degree in sports psychology. Then I did a postgraduate degree in education, became a teacher. I'm just really interested in the well-being of people.
Yeah.
I'm a big humanitarian, just in terms of people being humane to each other. And, I think the world is in a very interesting place right now. Yeah. There's a lot of shifting, a lot of changing. Obviously, COVID has had a massive impact all around the world. But I just love to give people a different perspective of what is possible, a different perspective of themselves, and then show them the way. Yeah. Or show them a way, because, you know, I don't know the answer to everything.
Yeah, that's right, because quite often our... In fact, I say quite often, we're all humans, even though we say we bleed the same and all that, but quite often
yeah.
we don't, in a sense, because we go through our own journeys. Even twins, we associate twins of being equals and so, but even they don't follow the same footsteps as such. You know, if you walk on the snow, you can see there's two sets of footsteps and we take our own paths. Whereabouts are you based, by the way?
I'm based in West Sussex, not far from Gatwick, but I grew up in Northwest London.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to have a very good childhood, but I really struggled in terms of how I felt about myself and struggled at school. But it was interesting when you were talking before, I was thinking how that often, I know I'm guilty of it, I think that everyone has had a similar experience to me. I think that everyone is like me, and I've realized that they're not. We're all different, but we all have a number of things in common. And I think one of those things we have in common is that we all have a very interesting relationship with ourselves, you know, how we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. It's one of the most fascinating things that human beings have, but we don't always talk about it. We don't always share it.
And quite often, as men, there's this, you know, from the podcast, and not just from the podcast, I mean, I've known this before, but when you start to hear the stories and of, you know, men and women, but say men, we struggle with in terms of letting out things and in the modern, you know, in the modern era, they're saying that it's okay to cry and it's okay to get upset and we struggle and we keep a lot of things in, and nothing, there's not to say that we shouldn't be a man. I mean, there's nothing where we should take away from being a man, because we still have those kind of attributes or whatever it may be, but there's a sense of now to break the stigma of mental health that we should really start to talk and open up, you know.
So, you know, with that, you know, there's obviously generalizations that we can make about men and women. If we were going to make some generalizations about men don't tend to be that good at talking about how they're thinking and feeling. You know, we tend to play our cards a bit closer to our chest. If you think about the roles that traditionally men have played, you know, it's been we're the providers, we're the ones who have to be manly, whatever that means. So we don't tend to vocalize that. And the fascinating thing about, from my perspective, is that if you want to be joyful, you want to be fulfilled, you want to be creative, you want to be innovative, you have to open up to that. You have to open yourself up.
Yeah.
But if you open yourself up, you're also opening yourself up to show the world that, you know, maybe you have fear and worry and doubt and frustration and anger and sadness and depression and loneliness. It's like you can't have one without the other.
You
can't just hide one and show the other. If you really, this is what I believe, if you really want to give your best self to the world. But for most of us, whether you're a man or a woman, chances are you've grown up and experienced trauma in some way, shape or form, major trauma, little bits of trauma, fitting into cultures, fitting into religions, fitting into a box that's basically said, this is how you need to be, this is who you need to be. And then on top of that, most of us worked hard to fit into groups where we did what the group did, to just fit in, because human beings, we are hardwired to survive, and we're hardwired to fit in and not get rejected.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise, is it, that a lot of us have some, whether you call them issues or unresolved trauma, and if we're not able to deal with that, then it keeps showing up in often in different behaviors, you know.
It's funny, and that's an interesting point there, because we spoke when a couple of times, it was one or two podcasts, two that stand to mind was one where when we speak about major trauma and one that might be, when we say major, you know, sometimes what's major to one is not the others, if you see what I mean. So like, again, it goes back to that thing about being different. So there was one where there was a boy who a mum who said that, you know, a son had, every day she used to pick him up from school, and it was a routine. So when he didn't get picked up, he was crying his eyes out, and that we often forget that. I mean, I remember at the time when a similar episode where a child had been crying in the school, and he was crying his eyes out because his mum wouldn't pick him up at the same time. And we often forget, and we sit there thinking, oh, come on, stop crying, blah, blah, blah. But what happens is that's their trauma, because they haven't, that person's trauma is because, that child's trauma is because they haven't been picked up at the right time by the right person. And so often that comes back later on. And then obviously then the flip, you might have the flip side where you have somebody who's, you know, I remember there's a guy on it who spoke about being domestic violence from his wife. And every time the police would come, the police would think it was him that was doing it, but it was her. And then he didn't realize why he stayed in that relationship is because when he was a child, when his mum used to hit him or he'd told him off, he did go to apologize to his mum, like he did something wrong, even if he did anything wrong. So what one person's trauma is completely different to the other.
So yeah, I mean, it's what's so fascinating about that is there's normally an origin to most of it.
Yeah.
To discover the origin, it's important to talk to someone about it. I mean, my role is much more of a coach, taking someone from where they are to where they want to be. But in many cases, where someone is and how they are right now, there's some stuff that is going to show itself in the future unless they deal with it. And that's why for a lot of people, sitting and talking to someone about that, and that could be a therapist, a counselor, because once you begin to understand where it comes from, for a lot of people, they then can make peace with it, and then look at it differently and then go, well, that's just not necessary anymore. Otherwise, these things can get triggered and we don't even think there's a reason. But trying to make sense of the human experience is very important, because we have this brain that is, the only reason we've survived is because we can remember things which keep us alive, for us to keep the human race evolving. So it's not surprising, from a very early age, we form dependencies on people around us. It's no surprise that we've got some. But what's fascinating is some people have what's called post-traumatic stress, and some people have post-traumatic growth. They grow from what has happened. I believe we can all grow from what's happened, but it definitely requires a different type of mindset, and often help and support.
Yeah. Before we get a snapshot of your kind of life and the things that you've gone through, and you know, I know we haven't got long, but what's it like to to live where you live, and have you always lived there? What's it, you know, what's the area like? For listeners out there, whereabouts is it based around England?
So I'm in a beautiful part of the world, but I grew up in northwest London, which is even just as beautiful. You know, I grew up in Hampstead. Hampstead Garden Suburb is one of the most affluent areas on earth. Middle class family. But it was interesting because I went to a private school until I was 12.
Right.
And I was not academic at all, and I never would have passed the exams, what is called common entrance, to go into a private school. And my parents couldn't afford it. Actually, my dad's business went bankrupt, so I went to a comprehensive school, and I saw a completely different side of the fence. I saw just a different way of moving through the world. But you know, where I live now is a result of knowing what I need, and I know that I need to be often away from people. Like right now, I'm looking into my garden, and all I can see is, it's just green. I can't see anyone else out there. And I think knowing what we need in life is hugely important. And I don't want to live in London anymore, you know. I love to just, I love the peace and quiet.
So that, and that again, so for you then, because it's just something there where you said you like the almost like the peace and tranquility. So obviously there's been a journey there where you've had to go through noise and everything else, and to a point where now where you're thinking, you know what, I've got to this age, I want some peace in my life. So give us a snapshot of your sort of growth in your life or whatever.
So I mean, my life is, I mean, there's been a couple of extremely traumatic things happen. And one of them was recently, actually, with my mum, who was diagnosed with lung cancer in December. It's very aggressive, and she passed away a few weeks ago, and that was really challenging to go through. But it was easier to go through because of what I'd been through with my dad passing away 3 years ago. But then even more was that than 10 years ago, with my, or 11 years ago, my wife, who was then my girlfriend, was given 18 months to live with a brain tumor, but she's alive and well to this day. And, you know, having gone through what I went through, it's given me strength, it's given me wisdom. And you know, that's one of the things that I think we all have the opportunity to do, is to grow from experience, to learn from experience, which is called wisdom. And then you pass that wisdom on to somebody else. You think of all the things that have been passed on to us, a lot of it maybe isn't useful, but some of it is. You know, what did your parents have to go through to get you to where you are? What did my parents have to go through to give me this life? What did their parents, you know?
I was going to say to you as well, before we kind of speak about that, the traumas, and because we often, when we have things that affect us, and like you said, you were able to deal with them, because what happens is you go for the first one, and then sometimes it could seem like the end of the world, and then you get through it, and then something else happens, maybe a couple of years later, whenever, and then you again, but you don't see it, if it's two deaths, it's deaths, but you see them as deaths, but what happens is you see it in a different way, and you're able to deal with it and get stronger and stronger. What was the change like for you going from the private school to, say, a normal school?
Well, I hated school full stop. Just thought school was the biggest waste of time.
Right.
I learned nothing in school, nothing, apart from how to feel insecure about myself, to drink, to take drugs, and just to fit into a group. I didn't really have a good time at all. I had a good time at university. I just learned, you know, I think to a certain extent it doesn't, I mean, obviously I'm fortunate, but I still, regardless of the fortune that I had of having two stable parents and, you know, always having food on the table, I always thought there was something wrong with me. I always thought I wasn't quite right. I always thought I wasn't quite good enough. So I spent years trying to prove to the world how great I was because of the things that I've done, you know, having my own program on television, having been on television. You know, I was on television probably two or three times a week for about 10 years. And then you get that, and written books published all over the world, best-selling authors, best-selling author. It's like, well, I was looking for that to give me a sense of self-worth, but it never worked. It never worked. My life changed when I started to recognize myself.
You know, when you said, you spoke about your self-worth, when I ask these questions, I know, it would be nice if we had longer time, but the reason why I ask these questions is because I like people to, who may be on a similar journey or similar path or whatever it may be, to kind of understand, you know, whilst they're listening to you or listening to me or whatever, the journey. And so you said you hated school, and what is it, coming from that background, you know, you middle class and all that sort of stuff, and you talk about self-worth. What was it about that? What is it that made you not like yourself, if you see what I mean?
Well, it probably could have been many things, but one was I was comparing myself to others, and that's what human beings do. So I was not learning in the same way. I was diagnosed with severe dyslexia. I was told I had behavioral issues. So immediately I'm starting to think, well, what must be wrong with me? Questioning myself. You know, and then just getting a bit older and getting some, I was bullied a little bit. Again, that just, again, made me, it reaffirmed, you know, if you don't think you're good enough, then you're looking out for evidence of that to stop people from finding out that you might think that way.
Yeah.
So there's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, which is a group of cells that are looking out for, basically, for what was I looking out for? I was looking out for people not seeing that I was weak. That I was looking out for people not seeing that I was. It's hard to say what the words were, but basically, I was working very hard to fit in, very hard to get people to like me because I didn't really like what I saw in the mirror.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's where I'm kind of going with the picture is that we if you brought up in this environment and you know you said you had a fairly great childhood and then all of a sudden it changes, your perspective changes.
Well, you know when. Sorry to interrupt you. When people say you're the product of your environment, but what does that mean? Mm. I mean, there's the external environment and then there's the internal environment. Yeah. I was a product of my internal environment. My internal environment was one of, I'm not good enough. I'm not quite right the way that I am. And that internal environment manifested. Like, you know, it got worse and worse.
Yeah.
Until one day, I burnt out and I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't live that way because I was constantly on the go, constantly trying to prove myself to the world. And in my 20s, I burnt out. I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, I was diagnosed with ME, and had that for about 10 years.
Yeah.
I had to change. I didn't have to change, but I decided to change.
So up until that point, you said you drank and you did all the, and you said you did drugs. Would all those things need to kind of fit in, or both, to numb the pain of going?
Probably a bit of both. You know, it was probably to numb, to fit in, and it was great fun. You know, doing all of that stuff when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, that was great fun. You know, being mischievous, drinking, you know, and drugs. All these things make us feel good. That's why we do them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
After a bit, you realise that there's a for every action, there's a reaction, right? So then getting hangovers, paranoia, and you just start realizing, whoa. And many of my friends are still living that lifestyle today.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that.
Yeah. So that up until that point, you know, during that time as well, did you have? You was living at home, I'm presuming. So did you find that you was having a support mechanism around you? You know, or did they not know? Was it just?
But no one really knew because no one really asked.
Yeah.
That's a really good, you know, really good question because everyone thinks you're okay, but very few people would ask you, you know, how are you? And then even if they'd asked me, I don't know whether I would have been able to answer it in a way that people would have known. But deep down, I was very insecure, very, probably quite lonely as well. But at the same time, I was, you know, I painted a picture like it was all bad. I was also happy. I used to love laughing. I loved music. I loved playing around and having a laugh with my friends, which I did, you know.
Yeah, because quite often as well, when we do that, and it's the fun side of us, and quite often those things then are the things that mask what's going off in our head. We use laughter and having a joke, and you know, sometimes
definitely,
particularly with boys, and you know, men, we
banter,
we rib each other, and you know,
banter.
Yes, we have banter. We do silly things. The reason why the thing's called Men Are Nuts because we do silly things. You know, people, you know, men putting rockets up the backside, you know, fireworks at the backside, and firing it off with the mates and all. You know, do you know what I mean? We do those things, and quite often, the person who's the not the leader, but the person who's the joker of the pack is often the person that may be going through things. Do you know what I mean? Right.
And I think banter, you know, I love banter with my friends, you know, but you can understand how for some people who are a bit sensitive, other people often don't realize how is this person feeling with me making fun of them, you know?
Yeah.
It's do you know that the person is coming? Because often I make fun of people who I like, you know, but if I don't know someone and I start making fun of them, then I wouldn't do that because you just don't know. You just don't know how delicate people are. And that's obviously one of the reasons why, you know, suicide is so rife in society because people are very delicate, people are very sensitive, and people are struggling, you know, because they don't express, they don't vocalize, they keep it all locked up,
yeah,
you know, and it manifests.
So you said in your 20s you hit burnout. Was this after, I presume, was this after university or?
After, I was working in a health club. I was a personal trainer in the centre of London,
right.
And I was just working ridiculous hours, and you know, I was working 80-90 hours a week.
Wow.
And I just one day, it wasn't then, it happened a few years later, I carried on that type of lifestyle of just going at 100 miles an hour with everything. I'm a very intense person, I've got a lot of excitement, I didn't know how to manage that, you know.
So what then led, you know, you said you were diagnosed with it, or you were diagnosed, what, did you manage to get help, or did somebody find you? What was it about you?
My mum, I got diagnosed at 10 and with dyslexia, and my mum really helped me with extra lessons, but it didn't make any difference.
Yeah.
It didn't. I mean, the difference that made the difference was when I went into, because I failed so badly in school, I did so badly in my, I was the last year of O-levels. I did so badly, they wouldn't let me retake. So I ended up, I didn't want to drop out of school. At that age, you could, but I didn't want to, because I knew there was something more in me. You know, I knew that there was, so I went to further education college. I did a BTEC, and then I applied to universities, polytechnics, got turned down from all of them. And then the back of the Polytechnics book was a list of colleges, and one of the colleges was St. Paul's and St. Mary's in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And I applied to go there and I got a place. It was like, it was almost like a miracle.
Yeah.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
So what gave you for someone who was, say, bullied and didn't, see, this is another part to it as well, of being human. Someone who was, you're bullied, you were struggling with, maybe that you, who's me, I'm trying to fit in. What gave you the confidence? You know, you've got dyslexia. What gave you the confidence to then?
Because I didn't know it at the time, that there's something more to me than all of that. That I have a place on this earth.
Yeah.
You know. And even though I doubt that from time to time, or I question it,
we all do.
I know I've got a place. Sorry,
we all do.
Yeah, there's something here I've got to do that is bigger than any of what's happened to me. You know, I'm here to inspire people. I'm here to speak. I'm here to listen. You know, I'm here to leave a mark. I want to leave a mark. I want to leave this world having made an imprint, an impact on people's lives.
Yeah.
But I think I've had to go through all of that personally to get to this point where I'm talking to you in the way that I'm talking to you now.
And so you struggled with burnout. What's been your path then to the burnout, and then appearing on TV? What's been your journey?
Because I was doing that at the same time. I wrote a book about weight loss, and I got a very small publisher to publish it.
Yeah.
Then it got reviewed in the Sunday Times. The woman who reviewed it got me on GMTV. And it all just, I didn't chase that. You know, I wanted it, but I didn't chase it. I wanted fame. I wanted to be recognized. So through doing that, then books came, book deals. You know, I've been published by the biggest publishers in the world, HarperCollins, Random House. But you know, so what? I mean, it doesn't really, it seems like a big deal, but it's not a big deal. To me, the biggest deal is the relationship I have with myself, you know, how I feel about who I am. None of that matters. You know, the fact that I've worked with world and Olympic champions in sport. I mean, who cares? I mean, who really cares, you know?
Yeah. I was just sorry to cut you then, because I was thinking then, because you were saying that you've always wanted to feel, I'm not going to put those words.
Recognized, accepted,
a validation or whatever. Do you think that was part of the fact of wanting to not wanting to be on TV, but appear, you know, you took the job of being on TV. Do you think that was a part of
your, I always wanted to be recognized, so I must have maybe subconsciously been looking for something like that.
Yeah.
To be on television and then be recognized. So I used to get recognized a lot. But even that was strange, because it's like, you know, you don't know me, but you recognize me. But then I enjoyed it. I enjoyed many cases meeting people that I'd said something or did something which inspired people, you know?
Was there ever a time where you felt this wasn't who you was, or this is a false, in terms of...
Like I was putting on a facade. But then I was working with someone one day who just said something to me very profound. They said, "You're really good at putting on the act. Why don't you just be yourself?" And that was awakening for me, because I just thought, you know what? Yeah, let's stop trying. Let's just be me. Yeah. If you like me, great. If you don't like me, it's none of my business, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, it's only a couple of minutes before we finish. You've written books. Can you tell the listeners about some of the books that you've written?
I've written lots of books, but I wouldn't recommend any of them apart from probably the last one.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that isn't because they're bad books. It's just that I don't agree with everything I said. I've continued to evolve. I continue to learn. So I've written Habit Busting, Fear Busting, Life DIY, Sort Your Life Out. I've just come a long way since I did that. The last book I wrote is good. It's called Inspirators, and that is about being inspired about where you're going. That's the thing that really excites me, being inspired about what's in front of you. I've created a free 30-day program, which, you know, I probably shouldn't have made it free, because it's priceless in terms of, you know, it's like 30 years of work gone into a program that is built around building a compelling relationship with your future self.
Yeah.
You know, because one of the ways to be liberated from where you are is to form a connection and relationship to who you could become.
Yeah.
So anyone can do that. They can just go to, they can go to mi365.me. That's mi365.me. I'm very proud of that. I filmed it right where I'm standing on this spot right here with the chalkboard behind me.
Yeah.
But, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to, you know, to speak, you know, and, you know, maybe it's something we can do, you know, again. I know that.
Yeah, I'd like to do it again, because at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot more to it. I mean, your profile was about being a P, you spoke about being a P, I think you said something about being a P teacher and inspiring children. And that's what kind of pricked my ears up. It was the fact that, you know, I don't know, I've never seen you before, but this person is talking about being a PE teacher and inspiring children, which is where my...
Well, when I became a teacher, the thing that frustrated me the most was teachers. And I actually got in trouble for the school I was teaching at, because I spent more time talking to kids than I did to teachers. I was always thinking, what can I learn from these kids?
Yes.
And I knew that I could learn more from them than I could learn from the teachers.
Perfect.
You know, I just remember just by talking, even yesterday, I was I used to be a director of a golf school for kids that are between 16 and 19. And I was there for like 5 years. I would befriend a lot of those kids, because I'm still a kid, right? You know, I'm still that little happy kid who's excited about life. And I am obsessed with giving back.
Yeah.
But by giving back, I think the best way is to learn from others, you know, add value to people's lives.
Just before we finish, what would you say to somebody out there that may be struggling with the mental health? Because I think we should talk again, definitely.
Yeah, well, no, we can do that. I think there's two things. If you're struggling and you keep having emotion that just doesn't go away, that something bubbles up inside you, then I would really encourage that person to seek some professional advice from someone who helps people who are having those challenges. But the other thing I'd say is, you know, if you feel pretty good about yourself, but you know that maybe you're just not feeling quite right, I would say, look, we have thousands of thoughts every single day.
Yeah.
Most of those thoughts are very similar to the thoughts we had yesterday. Is it possible that you could not take yourself too seriously? Is it possible that you could see the funny side of what you think? Could you find humor in what you think? Because humor changes everything.
Yeah.
And if you can, I'm not talking laughing at others, I'm talking laughing at yourself.
Yeah.
That is a very powerful thing to do, and it interrupts. Otherwise, we become a victim of our own thinking.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. And where can you be found?
Probably the best place to find me is on Instagram, just my name, Pete Cohen, or on LinkedIn, or on Clubhouse.
And I'd say thank you for coming on. And again,
it's a pleasure. It's my pleasure.
A whistle stop tour. And we definitely could go further, but I'd like to know more. But
next time,
we'll do it longer. Okay.
Okay. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.